I have been, and this morning I want to still talk about the kingdom of God is still open for business. The kingdom of God is still open for business. I want to reiterate just a couple of passages of scripture to give us some foundation and continue to share some thoughts with you. It's in Matthew chapter 4. In Matthew chapter 4, there it speaks of Jesus having come out of the wilderness. He now steps into his ministry. In Matthew chapter 4, starting at verse 12, it says this. Now, when he heard that John, that was Jesus' cousin, had been taken custody, he withdrew into Galilee, and leaving Nazareth, he came and settled in Capernaum, which is by the sea, in the region of Zebulun and Naphtali. This was to fulfill what was spoken through Isaiah the prophet, saying, the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people who were sitting in darkness saw great light. And to those who were sitting in the land and shadow of death upon them, a light dawned. Verse 17 says this, From that time, Jesus began to preach and say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Verses 18 through 22, Jesus is selecting his disciples. Verse 23, it says, and Jesus was going about in all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every kind of disease and every kind of sickness among the people. And the news about him went out into all Syria, and they brought to him all who were taken in various diseases and pains, demoniacs, epileptics, paralytics, and he healed them. Verse 25, it says, and great multitudes followed him from Galilee and Decapolis and Jerusalem and Judea and from beyond the Jordan. Jesus began his ministry, and the message of his whole ministry was the kingdom of God. It was the message of the kingdom of God in operation. It's in Acts 1, verse 1 through 8. Now, after Jesus' resurrection, it says this. It says, in my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day he was taken up to heaven. After giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen, it says, after his suffering, he presented himself to them and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke to them about the kingdom of God. So not only was it at the beginning of his ministry, he's talking about the kingdom of God. At the end of his ministry, right before he ascends, he's still talking about the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God, as written by Jack R. Taylor in his book, Cosmic Initiative, is this. The kingdom of God is the eternal rule of God over everything, everybody, everywhere, for all time and eternity. It is above time, yet envelops time. It transcends time and endures time. A million billion ages ago, God's kingdom existed. A million billion years from now, it will still exist. Being eternally permanent, it wins the right to be called everything. Just say everything. Come on, say everything. Would you just shout everything? It wins the right to be called everything because everything else is either encompassed by it or will ultimately cease to be. That's the kingdom of God in existence. When you and I were born again, Sean, we came into the kingdom of God. You did not just join a church if you joined a church. Before you joined the church, you were born into the kingdom of God. And so it's in 2 Corinthians 5:17 through 21 that Paul is writing there that gives us some instruction or information relative to what it's supposed to mean for you and I. It says this, 2 Corinthians 5:17, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature, a new creation. The old has passed away and all has become new." It says this, "All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation." Come on, just look at somebody and say, you really do have a ministry. Say, you have an assignment. It's the ministry of reconciliation. It says this, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. Translation says, the word of reconciliation says, "We are therefore Christ's ambassadors." Say this with me, I am an ambassador. I am an ambassador of Christ. I am an ambassador of the kingdom. Come on, say it, I'm an ambassador of the kingdom. "We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though we were making his appeal," he was making his appeal through us. "We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God." We might become the righteousness of God. The kingdom of God is still in operation. The kingdom of God is still open for business. Never stopped. Never stopped. You can't stop God. You can't stop the works of God. Men have tried. As a matter of fact, there's one passage of scripture where they are debating around what to do with what's happening in the early church. Let me see if I can find that here real quick. And there's a conversation that's being had because there are those who are wondering if they can stop this. And the religious leaders, when they gather together, they're having a conversation around what to do. But in the midst of the conversation, they recognize if this is of God, we can't stop it. If it's not of God, it'll go away like everything else has gone away. There are those who would want to make you and I believe that they have the right, the power, the authority to say when to stop, when to start. But you have to know that's erroneous. You have to know that that is not the truth and that is not real. It's only when you and I submit to that, that we set ourselves in the place where we come up under that. I want to tell you again that the enemy is not scared of you because you joined a church. But he will become afraid of you as you begin to walk out your kingdom purpose and kingdom destiny. Because you see, the enemy really does recognize the power of God working through the people of God. We see that in Acts, the 19th chapter. In Acts, the 19th chapter, is the story in there of the seven sons of Sceva. Many of you know that passage of scripture where they're looking and they're seeing the works of God, the power of God going forth. And they decide they want to do it themselves. Only they make this mistake. They don't recognize you can't do it outside of the kingdom of God. You can't do it outside of being born again. You can't do it outside of a relationship with Christ. And so the scripture says that they speak to this demoniac and they say, "We adjure you in the name of Jesus, who Paul serves." Now that's like saying, I bind you, devil, in the name of Jesus, who my grandmother serves. That's like 2-3 removed. I mean, ain't no power there. The reality is, hear me now, in the spirit, do you know what the devil's response was? He says, I recognize Jesus and I know Paul, but who are you? He's saying, you don't have any power. You don't have any authority. But I want to say to you, under the sound of my voice and those that are listening, if you are a part of the kingdom, you have power. You have authority. You have the ability to speak into the situations that are going on. And I don't care how dismal it may appear to be. I don't care about the numbers. I don't care about what CNN is saying and MSN, whatever they are out there. You want to be aware. You need to be aware. But once you've listened to that stuff, you need to take it right back to the Word of God. You need to take it right back. You need to find your place in the kingdom, and you need to be able to speak to that situation. I have found myself sitting there listening to things and talking to those commentators, talking to those narrators, talking to those, and as they put stuff in the atmosphere, I'm putting stuff in the atmosphere. When you start telling me by the end of the year we may have 300,000 people dead because of this virus, I'm saying the devil is a liar and you are too. I'm not accepting that. Now hear me. I am not saying that out of a fleshly place. I'm talking about a place in the spirit where I recognize it's time for the church to stand up. It's time for the church to stand up. It's time for the body of Christ to rise up. And you need to be able to speak to things and recognize you don't need a platform. You don't need a Facebook Live. Your words are heard and moved upon in your little prayer closet, just like the guy that's sitting there with the cameras on and speaking to the nations. You can speak to the nations. I say it again, you can speak to the nations. Every time we come together, we believe that we're speaking to the nations. You put something in the atmosphere, I'm putting something in the atmosphere too. And so I'm listening to them, and I'm listening now with some of the commentary that's out there, and they want to make fun of the fact that the president said, and maybe it'll be a miracle. Well, listen, you can't believe in miracles and then laugh at him when he says that. Whether he believes it or not, whether he's just trying to make a statement to play to a certain crowd or not. But let me tell you something. When I hear folks get on there and say, ain't no miracle coming, I'm saying you a liar. And I'm just telling you, that's the kind of stuff that's starting to get out there in the atmosphere. We must arrive in this place. In this season. And that's why I wanted to start out by just singing that chorus. We don't want to miss this moment. We don't want to miss this moment. You and I, listen, church, we have to recognize that God has allowed it to go this way in order to further establish his plan in the earth. Your responsibility, my responsibility is to pray into that and find out what that is. You can't sit back and wait for them to tell you it's okay to come to church again. It's okay to be the church again. It's okay to be the body of Christ again. No, you can't stop that anyway. It's like when we bought into, they took prayer out of the schools. Oh, really? No, they can't do that. You can't do that. Daniel was bold enough when they said he couldn't pray, he said, watch me. Deliberate faith, gracefully defiant. Watch me. I'm going to open up this window and I'm going to do what I've been doing every day. I'm praying. I'm not going to do it in secret. I'm not going to do it in hiding. I'm not going to do it in the dark. I'm not going to do it when nobody's looking. No. See, the enemy is bold. It's time for the church to be bold. It's time for us to step into the place of the reality of the kingdom of God and operate out of that place. I want to say to you that I believe part of what we're seeing right now is folks' eyes are being opened up. This is the time for us to become more aware of his invisible kingdom and begin to operate in it as believers. That's why when Paul was writing in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 15, listen to this. He says, "For this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and your love for all God's people, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better." I pray right now that God will give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation. I pray right now that God will give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you will know him better and better be able to discern the times in which we live. I was listening just recently to a message, a time of sharing, and it was prophetic in what they were sharing. But this lady said this, and it so resonated that I wrote it down. She says, "We must recognize the virus is real. The rhetoric is demonic. The virus is real. The rhetoric, the narrative is demonic." So it's okay to wear the mask and do the things to keep yourself protected. As I've said in the past, it's no different than putting on your seatbelt. But you have to live in the place. I choose to live in the place. I won't say you have to. I choose to live in the place that it's not the mask that's keeping me. Oh, it's not the mask that's keeping me. I am kept, have been kept, will be kept by the power of the living God. That's where I choose to live. I make no apologies about it. You got to figure it out for yourself. Because I've walked through health challenges and got on the other side of it, completely victorious, completely in faith. So I have this deep-rooted conviction on the inside of me that I will not be moved from. Amen. So I pray for a spirit of wisdom and a spirit of revelation that you and I would know him better. He goes on and says this, "I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope of to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people." Says, "And his incomparably great power for us who believe." Then it says this, "It's the same power that raised Christ from the dead." There is a power on the inside of you and I that will annihilate anything that's going on if we understand that power is working in us. Working through us. Paul is praying, and what he's saying is, "I'm praying you come into wisdom and revelation of the kingdom of God. Settle it. You're saved. You're going to heaven. But before you get there, do something." Going to heaven, done deal. But before you get there, let's do something. I said this last week and it's worth repeating again. This pandemic does not change our position in the kingdom of God. This pandemic should not change your position. It doesn't change your position in the kingdom of God. And you must not allow it to change your perspective. You must not allow it to change your perspective. I'm talking about that kingdom perspective that I will say till I leave this planet, because I'm recognizing I've been teaching kingdom since I started ministry. I'm not talking about the church. When I lived in Columbus, Ohio, Sean, when I started Ayers Ministries, we held kingdom conferences. We called them kingdom conferences. Because that's always been my DNA. My challenge is this right now, Georgia, and that is to see everybody come into the fullness of what it truly means to walk in the power of the kingdom. Some of you have sat under teaching after teaching after teaching after teaching. I love you, so don't receive this as a rebuke. Just receive this as a gentle push. And that is this. When are you going to begin to walk it out and really be the believer that you can be? Is everybody there? I need everybody hearing me. Not secondhand, not around the corner, right here, right now, in this atmosphere. I want to say to you, worship team, I love you. You are some of the most incredible believers, and I'm grateful because y'all go anywhere, anytime, and I appreciate that. Y'all want to sing something, y'all like, what did he say? And as soon as y'all get it, y'all go with it. I do that, and y'all like, okay, here we go. I want to thank you for that, and I'm going to talk about that in just a minute. Because you see, that's part of going with God. That's part of going with him in the moment. You cannot allow this pandemic to move you out of your position in the kingdom of God. You cannot allow it to shake your perspective of the kingdom. What am I talking about? Kingdom perspective. Well, let me tell you again. And this is a little different, y'all, so don't think you quite know it. I've edited this. You know, it's kind of like God continues to add, so I just kind of edit and go along as wisdom and revelation comes. Yeah. The kingdom of God, the kingdom perspective, is a constant awareness of Jesus, who is king, and his kingdom that encompasses all things. An awareness of the spirit realm that is in operation and the spiritual authority we have in it through Jesus Christ. The acknowledgement that Jesus has all power and authority in heaven and in earth. And as ambassadors, we have been given that power and authority to influence, impact, and affect the natural and spiritual realm for the advancement and the establishment of his kingdom throughout the earth. That's a little different, isn't it? Yeah, it just got a little more clear. A little more clear. See, every day you live should be from this perspective. Even the days you don't like your job, you better get this perspective and recognize your assignment. Recognize what it is that God wants to do in you and through you. The kingdom perspective, the constant awareness of Jesus, who is king, and his kingdom that encompasses all things. An awareness of the spirit realm that is in operation and the spiritual and natural, the spiritual authority that we have in it through Jesus Christ. The acknowledgement that Jesus has all power and authority in heaven and in earth. Isn't that what he said? Isn't that what he said? Yes. He didn't say some power. He didn't say some authority. He didn't say it's going to be meted out to me over time. I need to prove what I can do with what I got right now. Then the rest is going to come. He said, I got it all right now. When he came off, then they took his body off that cross. He was already down in hell dealing with the devil, defeating death, hell, and the grave. The scripture says that when he rose from the dead, it was a done deal. Say done deal. Come on, say, this is a done deal. It's just you and I walking out our part, our kingdom assignment. All power, authority in heaven and in earth. And as ambassador, say ambassador. Come on, say, I am an ambassador. Come on, say it again. I am an ambassador. We have been given the power and authority to influence, impact, and affect the natural and spiritual realm for the advancement and the establishment, or the establishing of his kingdom throughout the earth. That is our assignment, and that must remain our perspective. Let me share a few thoughts with you as I begin to end out our time. Don't think it's strange the challenges that are going on in your life right now, going on in your affairs right now, going on in your finances, going on maybe in your physical body, going on in relational situations. Paul, in his writing, he says, there is a door that's opened for me for effectual service. He says, and many are my adversaries. He's saying, this door is opened up, but I'm going to have to contend with some things. One of the things that I heard recently that continues to resonate for me, and that is this, the measure of opposition is in direct correlation to the measure of the opportunity. The measure of opposition is in direct correlation to the measure of opportunity. And if you don't understand that, you will tap out, you'll throw in the towel rather than stick it out, stay with it. Just recognizing that the measure of opposition is in direct correlation to the measure of the opportunity. Come on, a couple of y'all need to act like you're writing that one down, because it's going to help you even this week. The measure of opposition is in direct correlation to the measure of opportunity. So you're wondering why things are so hard right now? It's because of the opportunities that are already before you or the ones that are on their way. The second thing that you have to understand is this. The opposition equips you for the opportunity. The opposition equips you for the opportunity, prepares you for the weight of the opportunity that is to come. The opposition equips you for the opportunity, prepares you for the weight of the opportunity that is to come. All too often, as we pray and we declare and we decree coming into the fullness of God, the blessings of God, the increase of God, and all of a sudden, all hell breaks loose. Things start happening. But it's that opposition that's equipping you for the opportunity. Prepares you for the weight of the opportunity that is to come to you. So over seasons of your life, you have to deal with certain things. And what God wants to remind you of this morning is those things help to build your faith, help to build your spiritual muscles. You can carry more than you think you can carry. That's a good time to clap. I'm gonna clap for myself right there. Because there are days, hear me, there are days for all of us when we can get a little challenged by what we see going on. There's days I'm walking through this embassy and I'm saying, my God, what was I thinking? Now, I know you don't do that, but I'm like, man, I'm walking around, whose idea was this? It was God's idea, looking for somebody who would believe and have enough faith that God could use them to do it. It was God's idea. It's still God's idea. And so at the end of the day, it's all about God. At the end of the day, your assignment is all about God. Don't allow the enemy to overwhelm you and make you think you're out of place. The enemy will try to make you think, yeah, you thought this about yourself. Now you can't handle this, can you? Devil, you're a liar. I'm going to handle this and somebody else's stuff. The thing that the church must recognize in this season, the thing that I want to encourage us around, is that with all that's happening, God is not shifting things back into place. He is demolishing systems. He's demolishing things so that you and I will begin to operate out of that kingdom perspective and not the church mindset. Many are challenged, many live in impoverished type situations and conditions because they've stayed in that place of church and not kingdom. There is no lack in the kingdom. There is no sickness in the kingdom. There is no disease in the kingdom. And hear me again. I'm not trying to come down on anybody. I'm trying to graciously push us into a place. We were standing at the Liberty Center mall, Pastor Maurice and I, and we were talking to a couple, a lady that works with Pastor Maurice, and wonderful couple. And this lady just loves Pastor Marisa dearly. God has used Pastor Marisa to just minister to her, and she was talking about that. And we were just talking, and the gentleman, fine gentleman, he says, we're just talking, and you know, and somewhere in the conversation, I talked about our grandkids. You know, we got 8 grandkids. He said, grandkids? What, man, did you get married when you were 11? I said, no, I'm 63. He says, you gotta be kidding me. I just choose to believe in God's sovereign ability to keep me. I just believe that the hand of God is on my life. And that if I take care of this body, he's gonna handle everything else. I'm talking about a perspective now. Hear me. I'm talking about a perspective. And what life will try to do with the enemy's help is to move you into a place that just will wear you down, beat you down. But I'm going to tell you, your place of safety is in the arms of God. Your place of safety is in that place of stillness, quietness, and worship of God. Because I've learned that discipline. Every time something hit, I just go somewhere and get quiet. I go somewhere and get still. I'll write a song. You got to know, I didn't write God, You Have Kept Me just because I was trying to write a little song. I started thinking about my journey. I started thinking about the challenges. I started thinking about how the enemy was trying to get me to stop. All of a sudden, I heard the words, I stand here today, my faith still intact. Though times have been hard, I will not look back except to remind myself, God, You have kept me. Come on, just clap if that's your testimony. Come on, come on. And so you have to know that when the opposition comes, when it's there, it's in preparation for a greater opportunity that God is bringing to you. Don't bail out. Don't look for the exit sign. Stay in the crucible until he says you're ready. Stay in the crucible until he says you're ready. Because part of the shifting now is God is dealing with what we've allowed to become the organized church. Because you have to know this, the enemy's not afraid of the organized church. You know why? Because he devised it. He's not afraid of the organized church because he devised it. Now, he didn't create it because he can't create anything, but he devised it. All the denominations and all the systems that are in place, the enemy devised it. God never intended that we would work out of this organized church. We're an organism. And one of the challenges is we moved into this place as being highly astute people and organizers and projectors of systems and processes that if we're not careful, you see, you can't franchise the church. I'm gonna say that again. You can't franchise the church. Now hear me, I'm not talking about you don't plan. Let's not get it twisted. I'm not saying you don't plan. What I am saying is this. Much of what's being dealt with right now is the franchised church. The franchised church. The McDonald's University church. How many of you, anybody ever work fast food? I'm talking about a restaurant. No, when I say, I'm saying like a franchise. Anybody ever work in a franchise restaurant? Where'd you work, man?
Subway.
Okay, who else raised their hand? Worked in, where'd you work? Red Barn? Okay, where'd you work?
She worked at McDonald's.
All right, good. She didn't want to raise her hand. You,
I worked
she gonna talk for you, okay. She's like, she worked at McDonald's. See what he's trying to say, she worked at McDonald's. But that's okay, it's all good, my point. Somebody, where'd you work? Frisch's. Now let me ask you this question. In all those franchises, did they have systems in place? Okay, there were certain ways that you had to do certain things. Now I worked for a couple of burger places in high school, coming out of high school and stuff. And I remember, cause you had to put just the right amount of ketchup and mustard. Matter of fact, they had a little thing you squeeze, like just that's it right there. You know, two pickles, okay, not three, two pickles. And then you know, and you got to package it just the right way, and then you serve it up. And they've got everything. They got all these systems in place. That's how franchises work. They'll send you to school. There is a McDonald's University. I think there's a Chick-fil-A University. They send you to these places. Why? So that you can learn their systems. They are indoctrinating you. They are assimilating you into their processes. So whenever you're in there, you're thinking with that McDonald's hat on. You're thinking with that Burger King hat on. You're thinking with that Frisch's hat on. And everything. Okay, did you fix that right? Okay, let me see what you got there. Okay, we're good. And then you got to report that. So you got to go back and you got to report to them. And then sometimes they'll send management in to look at and just kind of walk around and see, you know, that's too much of that. It's only supposed to be 7 fries, not 11. You know, I mean, they just kind of, okay. That's how they do it. And you see, what we haven't recognized is we've gotten caught up in that. From the business models, so now we're franchising churches. We'll tell you how to build your church. We'll tell you how to grow your church. We will give you the system to put in place. And you know what? In some cases it happens. But on the other side, you have to know this. It's not a one plan fits all. And there certainly are no guarantees that you'll get the same results. And unfortunately, my God, unfortunately what happens is you got all the right look. But you ain't got no presence. So that's why, you know what, coming in here, I was very grateful to God when he opened the door for us to be here. And I appreciate all the lights and everything. But I'm telling you one thing. The day I walk in here and he's not here, you can have the lights, you can have the cameras, you can have the stage, you can have all of it. Because it means nothing. I'm gonna say it again. It means nothing in the equation of eternity. It means nothing. It means nothing. Now that's not to make light of what God has done for us, but the moment we start buying into this, y'all don't know, there's fog machines up there. Some of y'all know that. I was with a pastor recently, and we're becoming really dear friends, and he's just sharing his heart with me. He says, you know, I'm just really trying to turn some things around. He said, because they think every Sunday we got to turn on the fog machines. Now, what are they doing? They got a manual. They got a book. They went to a seminar. They went to a workshop. They went to a conference. They saw another ministry. And their thought was, if we can just get that, look. Hallelujah. I don't feel God in this at all. But it looks good. We look good. Hallelujah. And so everybody's now starting to do the same thing. Okay? Now, I'm not trying to hate on anybody, but we'll decide whether we edit this later. But you notice now how all the worship teams do the same. They all kind of got this hop and this jump. And they kind of got this hop and this jump. And, you know, and they're kind of going around on the stage like that. I'm fine with every mic right there. You just stand at that mic and sing. We don't need you jumping all over the place unless we all jumping together because the Holy Ghost is doing that. But there's this look now that they even got. Okay? And so now the thing is to play guitar. Now, the day you see me walking with a guitar, that's the time to start looking for your next location to worship. Because that ain't me. That ain't a part of what we do. I'm not taking away from that from anybody else. I'm trying to talk to us around the organized church, the franchise church, that in many ways can produce some processes and systems that work. But the moment you try to process and system Jesus, you're going to run into problems. We're going to run into problems. And so, we, in that whole thing of the franchise, there's what's called quality control. How many of you are talking about? Businesses just have quality control, certain way that they do things. Well, there certainly is that in food service, quality control. Now, part of that is to make sure that from day to day, everything stays the same. And when you go there 1 week and the next week, you order the same meal, it tastes the same. Okay, that's quality control. Quality control. Quality control. Quality control and spirit-led worship don't work. It just doesn't work. And so, what I endeavored to do, and that's one of the reasons why on Wednesday nights now, for those of you that are listening and those here in the room, those listening by way of Facebook, that's why for right now, I said, no, we're not going to Facebook Live because we're doing prophetic worship. And I happen to be one of those guys that got issues around levels of excellence. It's just got to be right. So you know what I've been dealing with a couple of times that we've done it and we did it and we put it on Facebook? We're worshiping, but I'm dealing with quality control. How's it sounding out there? Can they really get the feeling there? Are we too loud? Are we not loud enough? You know, how is this coming across? Quality control. I said, forget it. I said, Pastor Jamal, we're going to worship. Come out on Wednesdays. Because there are times when the Spirit of God, the presence of God, can transcend and you're home watching it and he's just right there with you. But let me tell you why. It's because you have chosen to experience what you see happening. So it's in this season, hear me. So it's in this season that God's not trying to return us to something. He's trying to move us past something. He's trying to move us past the franchised church, the organized church, so that we begin to truly be who we are to be. Amen. I think we know this at Ayers, but I want to put it in the atmosphere as well. You see, not every song works in every setting. Not every song works in every setting. Some songs, hear me now, some songs are specific to a geographical location, speaking to a particular people and a spiritual climate of that area. That's why you can go somewhere, hear something, be blessed by it, but bring it back and it fall flat. It's not for here, it's for there. Now, hear me, there are some things, there are some songs, there are some worship pieces that just transcend, they're for the kingdom. And they work anywhere, everywhere, all the time. But I have learned over the years to be sensitive to the fact that not everything, not every song, every expression of worship is to be in every setting. Sometimes it is specific. There is a specific sound that God has given our house, I believe, that is for here. We have been graced for that sound to transcend here as well. But there are certain songs that really only work here. Because they're for here. There's other songs that will work in the nations. And you have to know and discern the difference. The goal isn't to see how successful we can become as the church. The goal is how effective we can be in fulfilling our kingdom mandate. The church, the ecclesia is a living entity. It's always moving, morphing, transforming. I'm talking about the church, the ecclesia. Not the organized church. I'm talking about the living, breathing church. It's moving, morphing, transcending. That's why when in John chapter 3, and I'm almost done. In John chapter 3, verse 1, familiar passage to many people. It says this: "Now there was a Pharisee, a man named Nicodemus, who was a member of the Jewish ruling council." Now listen to this. "He came to Jesus at night and said, 'Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the signs you are doing if God were not with him.'" Now let's just pause right there, because what Nicodemus is identifying is the kingdom of God, the power of God in operation. He's saying, we recognize that this couldn't be happening except that God be involved. That's the place you want to be in. That's the place we want to be in. That people come and they recognize this could not happen except that God himself is in the midst of this. God himself is moving. Jesus is demonstrating the power of his kingdom. He is demonstrating the power of his kingdom. And Jesus replied, "Truly, very truly, I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again." Now, Nicodemus says, "How can someone be born when they are old?" Nicodemus asked. "Surely they cannot enter a second time into their mother's womb to be born." Now, what's happening here? The natural mind cannot comprehend spiritual matters. The natural mind cannot comprehend spiritual matters. Now, recognize that the times in which we live now, we will have to be less concerned with the natural mind trying to understand it, and we've got to go with God on it, because ultimately he's the one that's going to bring the spirit of wisdom and revelation to clear up things. It's one of the challenges that we've had in many of our churches that we would call in that seeker-sensitive mode. Now, there's nothing wrong with being considerate of people, but when you choose not to go a certain direction that God may be taking things because you think people won't understand or people will be offended, you're making a big mistake. You're making a huge mistake. Because the church is always moving, it's always morphing, it's transforming. It goes on, says, Jesus answered and said, "Truly, truly, I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they be born of water and of the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to the flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying, you must be born again." Then he says this: "The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is everyone born of the Spirit." What he's saying there is simply this: you're not going to be able to figure this out. You're not going to be able to control it. Years ago, I remember being at a conference called Winds of God Conference. Dear friend of mine, Don Norai, who's now gone on to be with the Lord, we're in this conference, and I had the privilege of leading worship for the conference. And I got on the keyboard, and everybody was reconvening after lunch, and people were kind of milling around and talking, and I'm just playing, just worshiping, no real song, just worshiping like I always do. And Don Norai gets up out of his seat, and he starts walking through the crowd, and he starts laying hands on people, and they're just falling out, they're laying hands. And I'll never forget, because a well-meaning pastor, I don't know what he was thinking, so I won't try to presuppose that. He gets up and he grabs a mic, and he starts to orchestrate. I know y'all saying control. Pastor, the word's control that you want right there. Control, control. No, I'll just say he's trying to orchestrate. He's trying to orchestrate it. And Don, who's in the back, and you just have to... Don was a big guy, teddy bear guy, long hair, ponytail. If there ever was a guy who could have been John the Baptist, based on what the scriptures, that was Don Norai, that kind of prophet. And John and Don had this thing about, and they even did a couple of character pictures of him. He always do like this. That was his thing. He's always, he, you know, when he preached, he just always hold his hand up like this. He's standing in the back. He says, John! And I'm on the keyboard. John! I said, what? All spirits are, yeah. What? He says, how blows the wind of God? And he's doing his hand like this. How blows the wind of God? He's doing it. How blows the wind of God? And I have to tell you, you know, my mind is kind of going through, you know, commentaries and is there a correct answer to this? I don't want to miss this moment. And I just, you know, very profoundly, I don't know. He said, no man knows. And he went back to laying hands. And the guy went to Mike, went and sat down. See, what Don recognized is we're in a moment, winds of God, that can't be scripted. In our flesh, in our carnality, we oftentimes feel the need to control. We feel the need to have the answers. We want to make uncertain things certain. And so we try to pull it in. And that's what this pastor was trying to do. He's trying to pull it in. But we are living in a moment where I hear God say, will you let me breathe on you? Will you let me blow on you? And will you just go with me on this? Don't try to flap your wings. Just spread them out and just soar with me. Allow me to take you to heights that you couldn't go on your own. You couldn't get there on your own if you wanted to. Allow me to move in you and through you and amongst you. And if you will allow me to do that and not try to control it, God says, I will show you things that you could never have imagined. I will bring you into realms of my glory. I will move in ways that will cause the masses to know that I am God and that you are my church and that my kingdom is in operation. My kingdom is in existence. It always has been. It always will be. Because you see, the traditions of men can and have nullified the word of God. I heard someone else say recently, order comes from preaching and establishing the kingdom, not preaching church. Order comes from preaching and establishing the kingdom, not preaching church. And lastly, to be effective in the kingdom, you must know your assignment. To be effective in the kingdom, you must know your assignment. We have lived too small. You have lived too small. You have relegated your place to your ministry in a local assembly. You're living too small. When your assignment is the world, your assignment is the nation, your assignment is somewhere amongst the seven mountains that have been identified. And it's when you show up, the kingdom shows up. And if you will, James, continue to move in those places with that perspective, God's going to use you in ways that you could not imagine. To be effective in the kingdom, you must know your assignment. Once you acknowledge and accept your assignment, all that is needed to fulfill that assignment is readily available. Doesn't mean you're not going to have to contend for it. Doesn't mean that you're not maybe going to have to wait for it. But it will show up.